Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
All right, welcome in take number two of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here yet again. So what had happened was, for those of you watching on the stream, an embarrassing thing just happened, and that's okay, because I embarrass myself all the time. So what is the point of even pretending like that did not happen? So I have an excuse. I have a built-in excuse, and that is because my crazy little man was trying. He was yelling. I don't know if you guys could hear through the microphone. He was yelling for me. So I could see that he's got a, it's like a pillow. It's like a round pillow, and it can flip inside out. And on one side, it's a banana. And when you flip it out, it's a gorilla. So there's like a hole in it. And he put it on his foot, and he was holding it up in the air, and he wanted me to go in his room so I could see that he had his pillow on his foot. So he was yelling for me, dad. And so I just hit start so I could get to the interview and go in there to tell him, you're supposed to be asleep right now. What are you doing? And I forgot to turn the music off. So there we go. Take number two to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I'm glad that you guys are here on what is such a fascinating game, because there is so much talk that we did over the summer that pointed to this game, and it's not quite the same. I thought that Ole Miss would have one loss going into this game. Certainly didn't think they would have lost to Kentucky, but this game is still what we talked about it being. I mean, this is the moment, right? Here's the opportunity for Ole Miss, but not just Ole Miss. Here's the opportunity for Lane Kiffin to prove that he can be a big game coach. I mean, that's going to be the talking point this week. I have not listened to Feinbaum at all, because I have not, but I'm sure they've talked about it there. You're going to see it on the pregame shows on Saturday. Can Lane Kiffin win the big game? Can Jackson Dart elevate his status as a college quarterback? Now, I think that in part his total career at Ole Miss is looked at a little bit unfairly, but he did have that stretch of really poor play earlier this season. But a good day here will have him looked at differently in the college football world. And then, of course, Ole Miss. Has Ole Miss become the program that can take itself up a tier? Now, I think they've already done that, but a lot of people nationally don't. And this would be a kind of prove-it thing. So the margin for error is nothing. It does not exist. There is no margin for error in this game, because if they lose, they will not make the playoff. But the magnitude of the game, despite the two losses, is still very much there. It's a prove it for Lane Kiffin. It's a prove it for Ole Miss. It's a prove it for Jackson Dart. This is a good but beatable Georgia team coming to Oxford, and the opportunity for all of the aforementioned to put their stamp on something is right here in front of them, and we'll see if they're able to do it on their home field on Saturday. So again, my name is Michael Borky. I'm glad that you guys are here. I appreciate you being here. Got an interview with Greg McElroy coming up here in just a little bit. We will talk about the injury report that just came out as well. And then we will get into your comments and get you out of here on this Thursday night. Don't forget, by the way, if you have not already, to subscribe to the podcast. If you are listening in podcast form, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel and like the video, of course, and leave a comment as well. Even if you're not watching live, I still see these. I read them. I engage with them. So I hope that you guys will do so there. And subscribe to the podcast. If you're watching or listening on YouTube and you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, you need to. Just search Rebel Report wherever you get them. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. The Gregory Law Firm is still the same great place it has always been, but there's a little bit of a change. No longer practicing out of Saltillo, Mississippi, the Gregory Law Firm is now in Fulton, just right across the street or right up next to the campus at ICC there in Fulton. But DJ Gregory is still providing you the best in personal injury, the best in small business legal advice, the best in contract disputes. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, has got you covered for all of those things. Here's the number. Save the number. You may not need them today, but that day may come where you do. 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting the Rebel Report. So here is the interview with Greg McElroy. He was on the radio show with us earlier in the day. And so I cut out the part where we talked about other games. But here he's calling the game for Ole Miss and Georgia on Saturday. And so figured he'd be the best person to talk to about this game. So here's a little bit of that conversation with Greg McElroy talking about the Georgia defense, which he, compared to years past anyway, not particularly high on, how you can handle weather as a quarterback and more. Really good stuff here from Greg. And here that is for you right now.
On this show, and we're glad to have Greg McElroy back on your radio. He's on the call for the Ole Miss Georgia game this weekend in Oxford. And as a former quarterback, thanks for your time, of course, but I want to start here. So forecast, albeit looking a little bit better for this game, there's still a chance that it's rain impacted. How does that impact the game? Like, does it give an edge to either team? But especially as a quarterback, how do you deal with rainy conditions like what Beck and Dart might have to be dealing with on Saturday?
Yeah, it's good to be with you guys. The forecast, and I'm not necessarily a professional meteorologist, but every quarterback, kicker, and punter, and a recreational golfer has a general understanding of, you know, how to deal with the elements. And honestly, I've always thought wet ball, not a problem. Wind, a little bit trickier. But the one thing about the wet ball that you need to be mindful of is that you're not going to be able to throw it as far because it's heavier. So if you're throwing deep balls with a wet ball, you're just going to have to get it out a little bit faster. And it, like I said, not the end of the world. In some cases, a little moisture actually helps with the tackiness on the ball and allows it to spin off your fingers a little bit better. But just know that the longer the game goes, the heavier that ball is going to be. And while adrenaline can probably make up for most of it, it won't make up for all of it. So you're just going to have to get the ball out a little faster.
So you were also, you saw Ole Miss earlier this year and struggled offensively. The last six quarters, Jackson Dart has been unbelievable. What, in your mind, has contributed to, whether it be a flip switching, or how has he played so well, and what's the difference between when you saw him before and what he's done over the last six quarters or so?
Well, last week was a great game, no doubt. I think a lot of it had to do with hitting a couple deep balls early. I mean, he's just a better player when he's hitting deep balls. And in the SEC so far, he hadn't really done a great job of hitting throws way downfield. And if you give some credit to LSU and to Kentucky, they did a pretty good job of defending those throws. In those two games combined, he was 2 for 12 on throws that traveled 30 or more yards downfield for about 85 yards or so, zero touchdowns. So you look at it, he was 1 for 5 against Kentucky, 1 for 7 against LSU, and the one he hit on against Kentucky was on like a 4th and 10 prayer where he found Priest Corn way down the field when they blew a coverage. Against Arkansas, he was 4 for 4 for like 240 and 3 touchdowns. So I think that was the key last week, was hitting some big throws downfield to kind of get his confidence going. And once he starts hitting them over the top, you can start hitting some back shoulders. And once you start hitting some back shoulders, then you got them kind of thinking and chasing and all those other things. And when they start trying to defend the deep ball, you can get the run game going. So I think it's kind of in that order that they're going to have to do things this weekend, because I don't anticipate them being able to run the ball with a lot of efficiency against a Georgia group like this. I don't think it's a good matchup with their O-line against Georgia's D-line, regardless of how different that O-line might look this year. They haven't played much different than they've played in the past.
And on that note, so Ole Miss, like you said, struggling to run the football. At times they've really struggled in pass protection as well. I think you would agree with this. Georgia, the best front that Ole Miss has seen so far this year. Is there something that you can do as a play caller or schematically to help your offensive line that could be in a disadvantaged position in this game?
Well, I don't know if they're the best defensive front they've seen. I think what I would say is they're certainly the most athletic. But I'll tell you what, like Kentucky, when they were at full strength, is a handful now. I mean, they are really good, but they haven't really been at full strength the last couple weeks. But when Ole Miss got them, that was a pretty good group. So I think, you know, Georgia's super athletic. I don't think they're as good as they've been in the past up front defensively. To be honest with you, I don't think all three levels of the defense are as good as they've been in the past. I think they have superstars in certain spots, like number 11, Jalen Walker, he's awesome. Number 13, Mykael Williams, when he's healthy, he's great. He's been a little banged up all year with a high ankle sprain that he got week one. Malachi Starks, number 24, their safety is awesome. So they have some really good players. They have some superstars. But across the board, I think that there's fewer, you know, top flight draft picks on this defense than they've had in the past. So I think the big thing is going to be for Ole Miss to stay on schedule. When you get in third and longs against them, that's when they get their athletes on the field, and that's when it gets real tricky. But I think they'll probably try to win the game on the perimeter a little bit more. And not really knowing what the circumstances are going to be at running back, I don't think that they're going to be leaning heavily on the rushing attack by way of that position. So you can do things to offset it. It's a lot more helpful to be at home, too, when working against a great group. But I don't know. The O-line is just disappointing. I don't know how else to spell it. I don't care what the PFF grades and all that other nonsense is. Like, you watch them, they're disappointing. Compared to what we thought they could be, given some of the pieces that they added in the portal this offseason. I do think they're a little better now because the right guard, Jerquan Scott, is probably their most physical offensive lineman. He's been banged up for most of the first two-thirds of the season, but he's now in there at right guard, so I think they're better now, but it's far from a top-flight group, and to beat Georgia, you often need to have a top-flight group.
Greg, Michael and Richard were telling me yesterday that Ole Miss does not have a great record when you call their games. What are you doing the day after Thanksgiving?
Well, they're 0-2 this year, but it was funny that it's funny because I actually went back and looked at that, and that's kind of been a running joke between me and Kyle Campbell, their SID. Mm-hmm. And I've gone back like years and years and years. This was actually, this year was the first time I've been on the call for an Ole Miss game when they've lost.
Oh.
Other games of significance involving Ole Miss. Well, I take that back. I did an Egg Bowl that they lost, but that was years and years and years ago. I mean, that might have been, gosh, that might have been Hugh Freeze first time around. But like, I did the last time Georgia played at Ole Miss, I did that game, and they won the game like 45-17.
That's Kirby's first year. Yeah.
So it's been a pretty good record. It's just this year, not a lot to show for it. I did the Arkansas game a couple years back. I believe it was 21, and Arkansas went for two at the end and didn't get it. So yeah, I hate to be the kiss of death this year, but traditionally it's been pretty good for the Revs that I've been in town.
All right, so there was some of that conversation from Greg McElroy. I thought that was good stuff from him. So anyway, glad that he joined us on the radio show and hope you guys liked that. The second thing is the injury report, and it is a lot better today than it was yesterday. I think it was 27 names on the injury report yesterday. Not near as many today. Henry Parrish, Logan Diggs, both out, unsurprisingly so. Just to hope that Henry Parrish can find a way to not find a way to get better of you know, just, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm fumbling my words. Long story short, you're praying for and thinking about Henry Parrish. That was a tough one there. Matt Jones and Trey Harris both listed as doubtful. Jordan Watkins was listed as doubtful as well yesterday. That has changed. So just those two, obviously Trey Harris being the big one. There's been, for the last couple of weeks, a lot of talk about him possibly being out for the season. I don't know if that's the case or not. They've said that he's tried to give it a go each of the last 2 weeks and just couldn't. Even if he can play, how healthy is he and what can you get from him? I mean, is it 30 really good snaps? Well, that's great. If it's 15, then fine. But that is something to keep an eye on. I'm I don't know. I wish I could offer you more than that, but doubtful is what he's listed as. We shall see. Jordan Watkins, Caden Lee, Jaden Williams, and Caleb Warren all listed as questionable. At this point, a lot of football players are banged up, and you may not know it. I saw a lot of people saying that Kiffin was just trolling with the injury report yesterday. People that I trust, and of course somebody like Chase Parham, who you should trust if you don't, have talked about how, like, the Watkins thing in particular, like, that's real. It's not a troll. He is banged up. I expect him to play. I think he's going to, but it sounds like that there's no trolling with his inclusion. I was told yesterday that Caleb Warren may not play. You know, that's leaning likely no, and Jaden Williams is leaning likely yes, but with how information comes out of that program, which is very rare and hard to find, and even if you find it, it's probably half true. That's just for whatever it's worth, what I've heard. But those three wide receivers, I mean, Ole Miss's top three wide receivers all being listed at best as questionable or doubtful is not great. Again, I do think that Lee and Watkins will play, but still, that is not an ideal injury report. And in terms of probable, everybody listed as probable is going to play. Ivy, Kennedy, James, Priest-Corn. I know Priest-Corn's hurt. That is not a troll either. He is hurt, but listed as probable, which is a good thing. There were more defensive players listed on that injury report yesterday. They were all probable. I mean, the entire front six was listed on there. They were all going to play, so that was not anything really to worry about. But it's the wide receiver position and maybe the offensive line that you're most concerned about going into this game, because I do think the path to a win for Ole Miss is going to be through the air. This is a big Jackson Dart game. It's, you know, the guys that Pardon My Take so often jokingly talk about, you know, legacy game. This is, in reality, a legacy game for Jackson Dart, because I think that Ole Miss is going to struggle to run the football again, in part because Georgia's good at stopping it and Ole Miss is not good at producing it as of the moment. So I do think that this game is going to rest on the shoulders of Jackson Dart. And can he, you know, manage the pressure? No, I'm not talking about external pressure, but the pressure that Georgia's defensive front is going to bring to him. I mean, Ole Miss has been pass protecting better, but still, this is an upgrade, at least from the last couple of weeks anyway. And will he be able to manage the pressure that he will most certainly be under? I expect Georgia to throw a lot at him and bring a lot of pressure to see if they can bait him into a mistake or just take that part of Ole Miss's offense out of it, because, you know, Kentucky was able to do just that. So this is a big Jackson Dart game, especially if they're lacking a bit at wide receiver. So if you want my prediction, which, you know, I guess that's what in part you're here for, I do think that this is going to be a low-scoring game. I think that points are going to come at a premium. I really like Ole Miss's defense versus Georgia's offense in this game. I think that they are going to be able to get to Carson Beck and bait him into mistakes, because he has shown a propensity to do that with his 11 interceptions in three interception games this year. Georgia struggled to run the football some. Again, Ole Miss's defense, that's a really favorable matchup for Ole Miss, but it's also one for Georgia on the other side as well. But I think what this game's going to come down to is, can Jackson Dart and Ole Miss capitalize on the opportunities for explosive plays when they are there? That, in part, is why they beat Arkansas. Now, he distributed the football beautifully all across the field and took what Arkansas gave him instead of just forcing the ball downfield 100 times. But on throws that were longer than 20 yards, he was perfect, literally perfect. I think there was an incompletion that was negated by a pass interference, and that was it. I think it was 4 for 4, right, of throws that traveled further than 20 yards downfield. And there was a stretch earlier this season where he was 2 of 15 on the same kind of throws. So I don't think the opportunities are going to be as abundant, but when they're there, he's got to capitalize on them and not make mistakes. Because of the matchups, because of what I think is going to be a low-scoring game, which quarterback can hit those explosive plays when they are given the opportunity, and which quarterback is not going to make mistakes? Because of what we've seen from Carson Beck in Georgia, I think that Georgia is going to be the one to make the big turnover mistake or multiple of them, and that will be the difference in the game. I'm thinking something like 24-20 or 24-17 or 21-17, a very close game, But I do think that Georgia's not going to be able to run the football. Ole Miss is not going to be able to run the football. So the ball is going to be in the hands of the quarterbacks. And one of them this season has made mistakes, turnover mistakes under pressure, and that is not Jackson Dart. So there you go. I'll read your comments for a little while after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. Get a complimentary office technology assessment. Teach them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Take two, this time without the music. We're back. Yes, we are. Can we count this as being late? No. No, we can't. If the Rebs don't win, I'm streaking again. Well, you know, kind of want the Rebs not to win now. So thank you for that visual, Garrett. I appreciate it. Never thought Lane was leaving, but good move keeping Billy for now. I mean, we have we not said 100 times on this stream and on the radio show that Florida does not want to move on from Billy Napier? They and you know, you had, there were some people, some like SEC accounts or whatever, that were engaging in that conversation and whatever, let them, right? But the people that knew that Florida did not want to fire Billy Napier. There's university turmoil, all the stuff we've already talked about. They've got leadership issues. There's money stuff they're trying to figure out, and the team was playing better, and Scott Strickland might be tied to him, and there's just so much working against his termination. They did not want to do it. And how many times did I say that to you guys? They didn't want to, and sure enough, they most certainly did not want to. You haven't listened to Sports Talk Mississippi since the LSU loss? Well, thank you for letting me know, Garrett. Thank you. It's kind of what pays the bills around here. It all comes down to this weekend for Ole Miss, all those millions into roster building and retention to see if they can match up with Georgia. Absolutely. If you could find out one stat from Saturday to determine the outcome of the game, what would it be? Interceptions. One stat, interceptions. Because just give me the quarterback stat lines as a cop-out. Interceptions. How do I think we should hold this game into the judgment of Kiffin? I think it should carry the most weight that any individual game has carried for him in his tenure at Ole Miss. Because this is to your point earlier, this is the game that they bought the roster to win. This is the game, right? And he already had the mistake against Kentucky. Like that, so there's already, he removed the margin for error by having a poorly coached game against Kentucky. This should carry that much weight. This, and as you heard from McElroy, this is a beatable Georgia. This isn't the wagon, the machine that they've looked like over the last couple of years. Yes, this game should carry more weight than all of the others he's coached in so far in terms of judgment. You made a bet with a Georgia fan. If Ole Miss loses, you have to streak in the Egg Bowl. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you're just running on the field, that's not streaking. That's not streaking. We have gone away from the true denotation of streaking. Because you have announcers like just a guy fully clothed is on the field, and an announcer will say, well, we got a streaker. No, you don't. There's no streaker here. You got to be in the nude to be a streaker. Just running on the field? No. You just hope if they lose, people don't abandon NIL because that's what got them there. It's what can get us there again, get them there again. It's not a guarantee. It just gives you a chance. Absolutely. That would be the worst mistake that people could make. I don't think it'll go down completely like that, but there will be questions about money management and things like that, though, recruiting strategy and things that'll have to be answered by Kiffin himself. Harris is still listed as doubtful, but you bet that's due to him likely not being active in practice. I'd be very much willing to bet that he's not in practice. If that injury report, it's garbage. I don't think it's garbage. I think there's a lot of truth in it. 89% of the money's on Georgia, yet the line hasn't budged at 2.5. Maybe a reason for that. In terms of the big-name team coming in and how Ole Miss can match up and win the game, it feels a little like 2022 Alabama. That game was super close and a big opportunity blown. And, yeah, the thing is, like, Ole Miss played well that day. They just got beat. I mean, just a break or two goes their way, and they still had a ball into the end zone for that game. And so that to me, wasn't one of those, you know, Lane couldn't coach a big game. I mean, I think they played well that day. And then the season became a disaster after that. But this does have that kind of a feel to it. Here's the opportunity. Don't blow it. Surely Georgia's preparing to play against everyone listed on the report. You don't really see what Lane gains by doing that. Maybe he's just making fun of it. I don't think there's really – I mean, yesterday's was kind of a joke, but, I mean, this one I don't think is – I don't know. Let's see. Did I just cut it off? Is there more? Because, frankly, I don't think this yesterday's was a joke with the amount of probables that they had on there. But, no, I think there's a lot of truth to this one. You don't think either team's going to have sustained success running the ball? I don't either. Neither of them has shown the ability to do that against lesser fronts this season. How can we be sure that the offensive line will hold up enough, mainly pass blocking? We're not. Don't let this cat feed y'all rat poison. They have 5 stars at every position. They do, but they haven't exactly played like it. Watkins is no longer listed as doubtful. He's questionable now. Do you see the rest of this? Some hypotheticals. Do you see the rest of the season going if they, A, win the game, B, lose a close game heartbreaker, or C, get blown out? If they get blown out, the wheels fall off. They'll lose to Florida, too. I think it would be almost impossible to lose to this Mississippi State team. If they win the game, then I think they will win out. And frankly, if they lose a close game heartbreaker, there's a real chance they still lose to Florida, but maybe the bye week will allow them to kind of reset and finish strong. I do not think they're losing to Mississippi State. They have come back down to earth, and Arkansas proved that, but Tennessee is really going to show that. I mean, they performed well in letdown spots against good teams, but those performing well performances were getting beat still soundly. So, really wish Fowler and Kirk were calling the game. Yeah. Lane needs to hire Sam Pittman after he gets fired from Arkansas. When Pittman leaves Arkansas, he is not going to be coaching anymore, I don't think. George is decimated at the running back position. Yeah, and ETN's going to play, but it's not like he's been particularly good this year anyway. It's Jackson Dart's defining game. He made a lot of good decisions lately. He's got to make a ton of good decisions on Saturday. Georgia's turned it over in bunches and still fought through it every game. How do you think Ole Miss matches up in a situation like that compared to Bama, Texas, and Florida? I mean, Ole Miss most certainly is more equipped to take advantage of that than Florida, for sure. Where I think Ole Miss really has the advantage here is that Georgia moved the football pretty well when Beck wasn't turning it over. I don't think they're going to be able to do that in this game. I've totally drank the Kool-Aid on this Ole Miss defense. And now that I said that, Saturday they're going to give up 875 yards and a billion touchdowns. But I don't think that it's going to be one of those situations where they're really moving the ball until Beck turns it over. I think they're really going to struggle moving the ball, and if you can get him to turn it over, you've really got something. I would be more surprised if Ole Miss gives up 35 than if they give up 10. I really like their matchup here. Georgia was basically minus six in the turnover margin against Alabama. Four picks, lost fumble and a safety. Yeah, and I mean, you know, keep in mind, they were getting absolutely wrecked in that game for a while. And by the way, that's a tough place to play, don't get me wrong, but is Alabama some kind of a world beater? Seems Matt Corral is back in Oxford for the weekend. Yes, he is, and I hope he gets some field recognition too. The Florida fans will feel better after beating up on Florida State. No doubt they will. Dart does only have one interception in SEC play. Yes, it was a costly one, but yeah. If you were looking, you might want Cignetti over Kiffin, except age is an issue. Well, you know, Ford's not going to be looking now. And neither will Ole Miss, so. Last year's big prove-it game against LSU, he won it. To that point, it was the most important one of the Kiffin era. If the run game is serviceable enough to generate first downs on second and third or fourth or less, generate first downs on second and third and four or less, you like their chances. But if it's not going, it's going to be a long day. But I think they're equipped to play a long day. I don't think every possession has to end in a touchdown. It's not like that this time, I don't believe. I think that but their use of the tight ends, especially right on short yardage over the last six quarters, but especially in Fayetteville, was really good. I mean, there are ways. I'm very curious to see how creative they're going to be able to be and how creative they think they can be on short yardage situations, considering what they're up against personnel-wise. As much as this goes against your normal judgment, you're going to pick Ole Miss to win this game. Georgia has to lose to someone other than Bama eventually. Might as well be this weekend. Think Ole Miss beats Georgia. Kiffin stays, loses in the semifinals, finish with a top 15 class and top three portal. Austin's QB1, and Ole Miss takes the next step to become tier one. That all sounds pretty good. It does. Saw a report that Pittman did enough to save his job by making a bowl game. Remember when we talked about their AD saying six or seven wins was enough? Maybe he still retires, like the rumors say. Walking away from that kind of money would be crazy to me. Dart will have his Heisman moment against Georgia. This would be a good time to do it. Redzen will be critical. Yeah, and when you're going to go for it on fourth downs and this much, you got to get it, and Pegues has to be the guy every time. But little things like that, you can't get off the field on third down and commit penalties to keep drives alive. The clean game for Ole Miss is as vital as red zone, but still. When it's short yardage, the Pegues package is a safe bet to work. They should have more creativity there. Absolutely. I'm very curious to see what kind of wrinkles they have out of that. When could we see Juice Wells make a play? Hey, he caught the ball all three times last week. But this is the kind of game where you might need a guy like him. You get the ball, you get him the ball in space, quick hitter, stuff like that. That's where he thrives. You don't think Pegues can be the only hope for short yardage? You don't think that will work? If they want him in as personnel and throw, that's fine, but they got to figure something else out. It's the only thing that's worked to this point, though. Love the uniforms this weekend. Georgia should wear red. I am very pro color-on-color uniform matchup, for sure. Very, very pro color-on-color. So, anyway. Because of the snafu at the beginning, we are kind of late. I've got a lot to do before I head on out of town for a wedding this weekend. Yeah. So I don't know what post-game content is going to look like. We'll probably get something. We will definitely be live on Sunday night for sure, but you'll get something after the game. So anyway, appreciate you guys. Like the video, all that good stuff. I will talk to you at some point after the game. And then we will be back live on Sunday. So enjoy your weekend. Be safe up there. And I'll talk to you sometime at some point after the game.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.